going to last, but we all must prepare for old age. And I see by some smiles out there, some of you have caught on to this little sign I have behind me this morning. It's true, when you get older, you slow down. You can't move as fast. The joints don't work like they used to work, but you are better in so many ways. Turn your Bibles this morning with me, if you would please, over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and I want you to just peruse through the first part of this chapter. As we mentioned, just a few things, as Solomon throughout this entire book is painting a rather negative picture of every aspect of life. And he gets here to old age, and he also paints a rather negative picture, because what he is doing, he is proving and showing that no part of life is very good without God, including old age. But he does bring out some very true things about old age in verses 1 through 8. And then we'll be back to verse 1 in just a few minutes. But just look down at these verses as I bring out a few points without taking time to read them all right now. The middle part of verse 1, in old age, the days are evil and there is no delight in them. Verse 2, when we get old, those days are comparatively gloomy and dark, filled with pain, loneliness, sickness, loss of physical ability, all sorts of things. Verses 3 and 4, life isn't fun as it used to be when we were young. Verse 5, we're no longer strong and brave as we used to be. Verses 6 and 7, life is so fragile, just the smallest thing can result in the end of life. And verse 8, life is vain compared to the days of one's youth. There are many things that those in the latter days of life deal with. One is chronic illness. Well, you know, Jacob, the great patriarch we read about in the Bible, did that also. Near the end of his life, he was blind, sick, and bedridden. My mom tells a joke now that she's up in her 70s. As we talk from time to time, how you know you're getting old, my mother says, you know you're getting old when you take your pills in the morning and you're too full to eat breakfast. That's one way you know you're getting old. Some of the other things that you have to deal with when you're older is loneliness. Some may live alone or by themselves after a spouse died. The kids and the grandkids are all busy with life. And when you're old, you just don't get out and do as much as you used to do. There's dependence on others to drive you around. Sometimes one may be in a nursing home or can't walk very far. There's financial problems because you're usually on a fixed income and there's not that much income left anymore. And you don't feel well enough to go out and work anymore. There can be mental impairedness because of medicine and just because of age. And there is the death of friends and family. Someone has to be the last to go, which means someone is around to see all their friends go and all their family go. You know, another thing my mom and I talk about is, you know you're getting old when you read the obituaries every day. And you know you're getting really old when you read them first. That's just the way that it is. Pretty gloomy picture, isn't it? But it doesn't have to be gloomy as a Christian. And that's what I want to talk about today. First of all, I want to talk about what we can do as those who are younger to try to prepare ourselves to flourish in our latter years of life. Now, we who are younger today, and those especially who are younger than I am, you need to really take these things to heart and realize if the Lord blesses you, you are going to be old one day. And life is not going to be as it is today, and you can do things today to make those latter years more enjoyable. You can do those things today to make them more enjoyable later. First of all, let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. When we are young, we need to, Solomon says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Young people, you can prepare to have better years at the end or near the end of your life by remembering your Creator today, by being serious in your Bible studies, by being serious in the things you do religiously as a part of this church, and you do religiously and spiritually on your own time in your day-to-day life. This will help you out greatly and prepare you for the trials that are awaiting associated with old age. In doing that, turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I remember our Bible drill. I've got to say, we had a really good start off to our Bible drill. And we had many of the older folks coming and participating and helping, and that has sort of dropped off. Older folks, when you come to the Bible drill, it makes it much better. Please try to be here. I was watching last time when we had the Bible drill. Some of the parents were here. And about the time Bible drill was over, a lot of people came in the door. I really wish it wasn't that way. Number one, the lessons we are covering at the Bible drill are important for everyone at every age. This is one of the reasons. It prepares us for old age. There is probably going to come a time, if the Lord permits you to live to a ripe old age, when you are not as sharp mentally as you are now. Therefore, we must take advantage of this time and every opportunity to become stronger spiritually while we have our mental faculties. And the Bible drill is one opportunity. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence. That means leaving 20 minutes early, if you have to get here. In your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. And that's what we are working on with the Bible drill. And young folks, you're doing a fantastic job. Chris, you're doing an excellent job with the lessons. Not a one of them has gone by where I wasn't encouraged and edified and glad I was here, because I learned something and I was reminded of very important lessons that are necessary today and are necessary throughout all of life. And the time may be when I cannot see well enough to read this Bible. Thinking about Beth as we were singing our song, and she was going like this. Let me see that songbook there. That's usually because she's too vain to put those glasses on, but I'm not. Because I can't get the book far enough away. There are some people, because of old age, who can't read this book anymore. And while we can read it, we need to be reading it, studying it, learning it, committing it to memory. And Chris, you've had some great illustrations that have helped to commit these things to memory. And there may be one day when we are old and in bed and unable to get out of the hospital bed, and we think about these illustrations, Chris, because they teach a fantastic lesson. We must prepare ourselves spiritually while we can prepare ourselves with all of our mental faculties. Because one day this brain and this mind may not work the way and as well as it does right now. And we're going to have to lean upon those things which we learned in our younger years. And let me tell you something. If we don't learn something in the younger years, there's nothing to lean against. And the days of old age are going to be as Solomon has stated it. They're going to be vain and they're going to be miserable and they're going to be evil because we were lazy when we were young. And let that never be said of any of us. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We need to take care of our bodies today as young individuals. Not to spend much time on this passage, we've talked about it in some detail before, but the fact is, verses 19 and 20, as a Christian, we are responsible for taking care of our bodies. And our mind is part of our body. Verse 19, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." There's an old saying, use it or lose it. And I'm at the age where if I do not use my muscles, I begin to lose them. And I've already experienced that. And so I'm working to make them strong again. Because I could feel that they were just going by the wayside. And I was becoming weak. And I knew that if I didn't do something fast, I was going to be in trouble, especially 20 or 30 years from now if I live that long. We must use our bodies. We must keep them in shape. We must use our minds and we must keep them in shape. It's like a car. What would happen if you had a brand new car and you never changed the oil? You never did any maintenance to it and you just drove it and drove it and drove it and drove it. How long would it last? Not nearly as long. What's going to happen with our bodies if we do not maintain them? If we do not try to keep them in some reasonable fitness and health? What if we take a gasoline engine with a car and we pour diesel fuel into our gas tank? What's going to happen? How far are we going to get on diesel fuel? Not very far. And what's it going to do? It's going to destroy our engine. To take care of our temple, we must put the things in it that are necessary for fuel. And we must do a reasonable job and have a reasonable diet so that we take care of these bodies. If we do not, we're going to be laying up in a bed someday when we probably didn't have to if we would have taken some time to maintain our bodies and our minds and to put decent things into them to eat for fuel. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, all of you who are young, you have a great responsibility. There's a lot that we can do today to make sure that our lives are going to be better in the latter years. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8. I see with my PowerPoint, I forgot to change the little words there. From the Apostle Paul, I get from this passage that he was ready to pass on to the next life and he had no regrets. No regrets. And as I've told you several times in the past, many years ago, I decided that I wanted to end my life with no regrets. Did the Apostle Paul, had he made mistakes? Yes. Had he done things that were wrong that he wished he had not done? Yes, but he corrected those things. He moved on to be the best person he could be. And that's what I want to be today. Yes, I've made mistakes. Yes, I've done the wrong things. Yes, I've done things that I wish I hadn't have done, just like all of you. But for today, I want to be the best person I can be, and Lord willing, for the next 30 or 40 or 50 years. And this is what I want to be able to say when I know that the last part of life is leaving this body. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me. Sort of change that a little bit at the end. And that's the way that I want to live. There may be a time when you are in the hospital and you have nothing left but memories. What are those memories going to be? I do not want my memories to be all of the things I did, I wish I wouldn't have done, knowing that I should have changed and I never did. I do not want memories of squandering a life for pleasure and worldliness rather than serving God. Because I believe that would be the worst way to go. I would fear death and fear eternity. While we are young, what are some things we can do to help the elderly? Turn your Bibles with me over to James chapter 2 and verse 8. And I know this passage is talking about discriminating between one and another, but a principle is set forth here. And I could have pulled up a number of different passages, but I chose this one because it's relative to the verse I want to talk about after this. James chapter 2 and verse 8, if, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. What can we do to help the elderly while we are young fulfill the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself? Do unto others as you want others to do to you. And chapter 1, verse 27, which I want to take as a principle and apply, says this: pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Paraphrase for this lesson: help the elderly. Help the elderly. That's what we can do. And what are some ways that we can do that? You already know the ways, but let me remind you of them. How do you like that? What do the elderly need most of all? They need social company. That's what they need most of all. What can we do? We can call on the telephone. This helps pass the time, and they are not as lonely. I need a telephone. Who's got a telephone I can borrow for a second? Derek? Hope I'm not getting you in trouble. Is it turned off? It's turned on? It's on silence. Should I answer it if somebody calls? No, just... This is so simple, and I wanted to just show how easy this is. You get your little directory. You might have your number right in here. You call up Miss Tina. How long does it take to talk to Miss Tina? It takes what? 2 minutes? We don't have to talk very long. Call up on the phone and you say, "Hi, Miss Tina. This is Derek Palmer from church. How are you doing?" "Derek, I'm doing fine." "So how have you been feeling?" "Feeling a little bit." And she might say, "How have you been?" "So, well, I've been doing pretty good. You know, work is going okay and school's doing okay. I only go half a day, you know. I get to play video games the rest of the time. And fortunately, my dad's out of town. He doesn't know where I'm going. My mom doesn't tell. Unless my sister, you know, sneaks off and tells him, you know, something like that, you know." And about 2 minutes, "Well, I'll see you later. Just wanted to see how you were doing and everything." And that's all it is right there. Is that so hard? Is that so hard? It's not. Let me ask you a question, though. Why don't we do it more? Why don't we do it more? Think about this. If I do not have 2 minutes to make a phone call in the evening while the beer commercials are on, Monday Night Football, I'm too busy to be a Christian. Is that not right? Is that not right? Now, let me tell you something. I'm getting on myself about this, too. We can make phone calls. We can visit. And this is a picture of this. Not a work of the church. But we have to teach on every aspect of life, and this is one of them. Social activities, especially with those who are older and who can't get out. Young folks, I'm going to tell you something I've told you before, and you just have to believe me. The most important call that an elderly person will receive from anyone in this congregation is from you. The most important visit to their house is from you. And you're just going to have to believe me with that, if you don't already know it. And it's so easy to visit. So easy. Derek, let me use your cell phone again, will you? This is so easy. Pam and Alan going out to the movies on a date. And movie's at 7:30. And so here they are at the house, and they've had something to eat. They're getting ready to go to the movies. And Alan picks up the phone. He says, Miss Irene, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. He says, thought about coming by and visiting just for a few minutes on the way to the movies. Is that okay? Oh, that will be just fine. He said, well, we'll be there in just a few minutes. What do? They leave 15 minutes early to go to the movies, stop at Miss Irene's, which is all of about a mile out of the way, round trip, and stay for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and visit Miss Irene. Is that hard? What would Pam and Alan be doing if they weren't stopping by to visit Miss Irene? Anything important? No. Goofing off, having fun? Yeah. Talking? Yeah. Maybe watching a little TV, getting ready to go? Yeah. Did they really miss anything important? No. Did it really take any large amount of time out of their life? No. Was it hard? No. So I don't know what to talk about. Believe me, you don't have to know what to talk about. Just go, and man, the talking's going to happen. The talking's going to happen. You don't have to know what to talk about. And then after about 5 minutes or so, you say, well, you know, we're going to the movie. I have to go. We're going to the movie. Just glad to stop by and see you. And Miss Irene, she'll stand up. She'll hug your neck. She'll tell you she loves you and say, come back soon. And off you go. Was that hard? Why don't we do it more? I'm getting on myself now. I'm raking myself over the coals now. Why don't we do it more? I'm going to tell you something. You young people are going to have the most important visit. And you who have license, it's so easy. And those of you who don't have license, ask your parents. to leave early and take you. It's so easy, isn't it? What else can we do? Send cards, notes, and letters. And I'm getting on myself. Why don't we do it more? Beth and I got 2 cards last week, and I got to tell you something. I looked at them more than one time. And how hard is it? I meant to bring a card with me. How hard is it to look in the little directory and get the address and write the little address on there, and they open the card and you say, you know, "Dear Miss Polly, hope you're feeling better. Glad you could be at church Sunday. We miss you when you're not here. Love, Kaylin Palmer. Andrea McNabb. Chad Steen." How hard is that? How long does that take? You put it in the envelope, you seal it, and say, "Mama, would you mail this for me?" Then you don't even have to buy the stamp. How hard is that? Daniel, I see you. It's not hard, is it? You could do that, couldn't you? Absolutely. And now the question is, well, why don't we do it more? Some people are really good at it. I'm not really good at it. Why don't we do that more? A lot of other things we could talk about, doing chores. I've got to say this one. I won't say names to embarrass anyone. I was so proud that one of our members stops by and gets Miss Irene's laundry because her granddaughter is so busy opening a new store and does her laundry for her. I think that is so good. So good. Things that we can do, and they're so important, and most of them take such little time. All it takes is a little thought. Why don't we do it more? Can we do it more? Should we do it more? Why don't we do it more? And the answer to that question is not a good one for most of us. How can the elderly help themselves? Now, I'm not an expert on this because I'm not elderly. But I've been around a while, and I've talked to people, and I've observed many things. And so I think I can talk about this educatedly. That's not even a word, is it? Educatedly? I just made up a new word. Somebody has to have it put in the dictionary now. You remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "We walk by faith and not by sight. Therefore, it seems to me, in the latter times of life, we have to continue to get closer to God." Because as Solomon has clearly stated, and as we know from personal experience, those latter years of life can be really, really tough. Really hard. There's some other things I want to suggest. Turn your Bibles with me over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And no matter what age you are, if you're young, now is the time to make the commitments for these things. And my suggestion here is, do not give up. When we're young, it's the time to make up our mind, "I'm never going to give up." Not wait till we're faced with a decision. Verse 21. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me." Paul says, if I continue to live, that means labor. That's the point I'm going to make in just a moment. Don't stop working for the Lord. Labor in the vineyard. It's going to be harder. You can't do as much. You're a lot slower. Mine doesn't work like it used to, perhaps. But don't stop working. Don't give up. "And I do not know which to choose. For I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for this is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake." Paul had the choice whether or not to give up. And he made the choice not to give up, to stay here and to work. And I thought, was thinking of some examples of this. And I know not everyone is blessed with physical abilities as some are. Some are bedridden. Some have very difficult things. But this is one lady that I look to as a role model, never giving up. 96-year-old riding a four-wheeler. Role model for me. She's blessed with a health. Beth's grandmother. And if the Lord blesses me with that health, I have determined I never am going to give up. Is she slow? Yes. Does she drive real slow? Yes. Does her mind work as well as it used to? No. Is she weak? Yes. But I look at people like my 93-year-old friend in Thomasville, who wakes up every day with more to do than anybody here could ever do, and pushes him pain, knees that don't work right, all the things associated with being 93 years old, and doesn't give up. I found this picture of an elderly woman, obviously with arthritis, and it seems to be that she's celebrating maybe her birthday or some other birthday, and she's just having a great time. Because the point with this is, although there are many difficulties later in life, we don't have to be so sad and down and depressed about it all. Because there are the good points. And we'll talk about some of those. And there are the positive things. And we need to focus on them. Turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It seems to me that when the body starts wearing out and not functioning as it used to, and, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm 50. Beth gets mad at me every time I do that. As I approach 50, and, you know, I can't work the way I used to work, and you know, I don't have the stamina that I used to have, and that's partially my fault because, you know, I didn't keep myself up physically fit as much as I could. But when the body doesn't work the way that it used to work or have the strength that it used to have, it seems to me that then we must even concentrate more on the spiritual. And I want you to notice here something. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, you have been raised up with Christ. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died. And as I was preparing this lesson, I stopped there. And I'm going to try to remember this. If the Lord permits me to get older and maybe be 80 or 90 or 100, and the body is not functioning well and I'll have some diseases or be sick or, you know, things, limbs and joints and all don't work, I have already died. Dying is not such a bad thing. I've already died. I died with Christ, and my life is hidden with Christ in God. And verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. It seems to me that the focus more has to be with the spiritual things, because the physical just doesn't work the way that it used to. Romans chapter 8, verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. This changes the whole aspect, not of dreading death, but welcoming death. Seems to me that That's a good attitude. The last point is eagerly welcome the next phase of life. Eagerly welcome the next phase of life. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. For we know that if the earthly tent which is our home is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Death is not something to be dreaded for Christians. Death is something to be welcomed. Skip down to verse 6. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer. Get that. We are of good courage and prefer. This has got to be our attitude at every stage of life, but especially when we're on the doorstep of death, that we prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to the Lord. And that is the final point. Whether you are in the body or at home with the Lord, it is our ambition. We are seeking to be pleasing to God, and therefore be active in His service. I know when the body stops functioning as well as it used to, when there is pain and no relief of it at all, that it's hard to be active. But in my short years of life, I have looked about and I have seen those who have remained active to whatever degree they could until the day they died. I remember very little about my childhood. I remember very little associated with church or other Christians that were old, because I was just a kid. I remember one thing, perhaps more than any other. I was a little boy. My father took me, I was just with him. We went to a man's house who was 90-some years old who went to church where we went to church. I don't remember his name. I don't remember anything about him. I don't remember what he looks like. But for many, many years, he had bought tracts and he had given tracts out and he had mailed tracts out. And he was over 90 years old and continued to do that to the day he died. And at the end, he had to get people to help him. But he didn't stop. Those are the people I want to be like. I want to be like Scott's mom, Sue Love. And I should have written down her disease again. I can't remember what it is. Some big long name. I couldn't pronounce it anyway. Had this for many, many, many years. Scott's dad passed away. She had the decision to make. Do I sit here and feel sorry about myself and waste away? Or do I do something? She chose to do something. Not everyone's in the financial situation she was in. Scott's dad had a business. Financially, she could do a few little things. She decided to add a big room onto her house so that everybody from church could come over. And does that to this day. When you grow old and life is so tough, remember to stay active. Do not stop working from the Lord. You also visit. You also invite people over. You also call on the phone, and you also write cards if you're physically able. And I'm going to say something, and I'm afraid to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think it's a good lesson for all of us, young and old. Sometimes what I see, not speaking necessarily of anybody here, is when folks get older, they stop picking up the phone and calling other people at church. Maybe afraid because they're going to bother somebody. I don't know. Sometimes I don't see the elderly calling each other. Sometimes I see those who are older feel very bad and life is very hard, but they still manage to go to the doctor and the store and to go shopping and go to the beauty shop and get their nails done, but don't go visit any of their elderly friends in the congregation. This is a time when the elderly need each other. And they need to lean on each other. Because they're all in the same boat and oftentimes all stuck at home by themselves. Continue to do those things working for the Lord that you did when you were young. Visit, call, invite over, write cards, and all those things. And as much as possible, do not stop teaching. Because we need you to be teaching. The older ladies teaching the younger ladies. You may not stand up in front of a classroom of other ladies. You may just be sharing your experiences over the phone. You may be talking while in each other's houses. But do not think you have nothing to offer, because the absolute opposite is true. You have everything to offer, and never, never think to the contrary. We need you and your wisdom and your years of experience. And don't ever think that we don't. Prepare for the older years while you are young. When you're young, help the elderly. The way I always look at it, if I'm helping the elderly today, maybe when I'm old, some of the young will help me. What can the elderly do? God, don't give up. Have a spiritual focus more than ever. Eagerly welcome eternity and be active to the day you die. Whatever way that you can. I hope these words have been encouraging, edifying, educational. We're going to offer the invitation. 297, prepare to meet thy God. And I suggested this song to Chris because it's a song about preparation. And that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about preparing to die, preparing to be with God. We're talking about preparing to live in the later years of life. It's all about preparation. Let's think about our eternity. Let's think about our souls. Let's think about our relationship with God. And if you need to change anything with that, why don't you change it now? If we can help you at all, won't you step to the front now as we stand and as we sing?